Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of Christian author and speaker, Troy Black. We're praying that, as you listen, God will reveal His love, grace, and truth to you in a deeper way. After listening, don't forget to connect with Troy on YouTube and Facebook. May this message from Troy inspire you in your walk with Christ.
Hey y'all, this is Troy Black. So I'm really excited about this video today. I've got my brother, Reese Black, on a call with me. And he has actually just finished writing and publishing his first book. So Reese, could you tell us about that real quick?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So I'm holding it right now. This is actually the proof copy. Thanks for having me on the show. I've been a big fan of yours for years and years, Troy. So it's it's so nice to finally meet you. It's so nice to be on the show. It's a dream come true.
Feels that way to me sometimes. We actually live in separate states in the United States, so yes. It does feel like I haven't seen Reese in ages. But
yeah, it definitely does feel that way. But no, I seriously appreciate you having me on. This is an incredible opportunity, and yeah, I'm so excited to share with everybody that I did just finish my very first book. It's called Out of the Shadows, A Journey into the Kingdom of Light. And it's just so much about a season of my life, just a pretty recent past season, starting from about the time I was 18 going to up to about the time I was 24. I'm 25 now, so pretty recent season, where God just kind of flipped everything I knew about being a Christian, everything I knew about my relationship with Him kind of on its head. And I kind of just started a relearning and a regrowing of everything I knew about having a relationship with the Lord. And it's just it was a really exciting time for my life. And it's kind of laid the bedrock, I believe, for the rest of my life. And coming out of that season, I just feel like God had put it in my heart to write a book about it and write all the things I learned. And then the very personal stories of weakness and vulnerability that that God used to shape all these really important things in my heart. I just believe that... I believe it's really a book of freedom. I believe that anybody that reads it will just get a boost of godly freedom in their lives. And that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's what I got. Honestly, I've read this book, y'all. He just released it this past week, and it's really a faith builder. So if you need a boost of faith, or if you feel like your Christian walk at all has turned into something that it wasn't meant to be, if you feel like it's been depersonalized, or you feel like it's too much of a challenge, or you've got too big of a burden on your shoulders, you need to get this book. But I've actually had Reese join us today to answer this question, to talk about this issue that honestly has been weighing on my heart for a long time, for more than a decade now. And Reese, we've been talking about it the last few days, and Reese has been talking about how this is something God's been showing him specifically these last few years. And the topic is spiritual maturity. And I kind of want to preface what he's going to say by making this statement. I honestly believe in the Christian church, in the Christian culture, by and large, we have gotten spiritual maturity wrong. And I know that sounds like a harsh statement. And I really don't mean it to be. So if it sounds that way, please know that I'm making this statement from a heart that's willing to learn, a heart that is trying to be humble, not just before God, but before other believers. I don't pretend to know everything. I know Reese doesn't pretend to know everything. But we are both we're wanting to hear what God has to say, and I hope that you're wanting to hear that too today. So Reese, why don't you go ahead and just explain and kind of talk about what God has been showing you these last few years.
Yeah. I just want to start by saying that this is a really fresh topic for me. I am nowhere at the end of this thing. And actually why I'm so excited to talk about and share with this is because just this week, yesterday, like today, this is the theme and the thing that God is showing me. And it has been showing me for years, but this past few months has just become more real and real and real. And that's exactly what you said. Again, like you said, don't want to be judging anybody or making a really harsh judgment upon the church. But just speaking from my own experience, having grown up in the church and just knowing what my life has been like, I am repenting and saying to you that I have gotten spiritual maturity very wrong, almost completely wrong, for the largest portion of my Christian walk, the largest portion of being a Christian. So I grew up Christian like you. We grew up going to church, and so I've been a Christian my entire life. And it's not just till the past few years I realized how far off I was in my understanding of what spiritual maturity was, what it meant to actually grow in Christ and grow in relationship with Christ. And so the easiest way for me to frame that is just two words, or they're kind of combined words, but self-righteousness and self-improvement. And so I just want to start this off by saying that I have made self-righteousness and self-improvement my God. And for much of my Christian walk, that has been truly my God, self-righteousness and self-improvement. And the real God, God, Jesus, has for so much of this time has actually been a means to an end for me to reach self-righteousness and self-improvement. Sorry, my earbuds popped out. Scott can cut that out later.
He might leave it in. Yeah, what you're saying, Reese, like, honestly, it's literally you're taking me right back to my own story, like my own testimony story, my time in high school, even as far back as junior high and in elementary school. I can honestly say, like, that was my God for a long time. Mm-hmm. was the best version of myself. You know, I would look at this standard that I had surrounding my own life, my own actions, and I made that the goal. I made that, like, you know, the perfect version of Troy. I made that my God. And, you know, it's humbling to say that now. Yeah. But I think it's freeing too. What the statement you made earlier about, you know, God has been able to show you this, and you've realized that you had it wrong. I honestly think that's something that's really hard for Christians to admit. It's hard for me to admit, you know, a lot of the times, especially something that I've been following after, an ideology I've been, like, listening to in my own mind, or following after in my heart for a long time. It's hard to say, man, I've been wrong about this. But I believe that's when God can make the biggest change in our lives, when we're able to lay something down and admit and say, I've got this wrong.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It is so, so hard. So I also wanted to hop into the beginning of the story of how I even came to that moment where God showed me that I was so off in this way. I want to preface and say that the end result of rejecting self-righteousness and rejecting self-improvement as your God, is real intimacy with God. And so I just want to start by saying, like, that is the goal for this spiritual maturity. So no one has any different idea of what I'm trying to get at. I'm not talking about, you know, giving up and no longer trying to follow the word of God or not being obedient with the Lord. Like, the goal is, instead of me becoming some self-righteous and really successful and really great person for God, and I'm using air quotes because I think a lot of times we can slap Jesus labels onto things and say, like, yes, I'm succeeding for Jesus, but really in our hearts we're succeeding because we want to so badly cover up these insecurities that are saying, you know, to us that you're a failure, you're worthless, and we're like, and we're just saying, like, no, I'm going to succeed, and we're slapping Jesus on the end to help us. And so for me, how this all started was going to college, in my first year, getting out of the house, moving up here to Oklahoma and starting to go to college. I started my college career really with just a sense of, I will be honest, with pride and thinking that I was in a really great place with the Lord, and thinking I was pretty spiritually mature growing up in the church and just doing really well, praying every day, reading the Bible, very regularly. And I had this roommate, his name's Jason, and he had a relationship with God that was not like the relationship I had. He had an intimate relationship with the Lord, where he had this love for God that went beyond what I had. What I had was a drive to do well and to do what was right. What I had was a drive to please God that was really in a performance-based mindset, where I thought the more I could perform, the more God would love me and bless me and accept me. And Jason, it was like, I'm going to, like, tear up just thinking about it. It was just like, for him, it was like, he was married to God. Like that sort of love, that intimate love that Jesus talks about with him being saying that the church is his bride. that intimate just love of, I will give my life for you because of how much I love you. That's what I saw in Jason, being reciprocated, being received from the Lord and also given back to him.
That's amazing.
And it was just, it was something where interacting with that, and as well as other things in college, I began to realize I actually became disillusioned with this relationship with God that I had, and became frustrated with God, and started growing and getting angry. And it was harder for me to pray and read my Bible, because I started to realize that what I was getting was not as good as what I thought. I was thinking, I was like, yeah, I'm a spiritual Christian. Like I am very mature. And when I read the Bible and pray, you know, like God hears my prayers, and I'm like, everything is just really good. And I just started realizing that I was actually, so much of what I had was really just kind of an empty religion, where I would read the Bible but not really get anything out of it. And I would pray a lot and pray to God a lot, hoping that he would hear me, but also starting to analyze and think and realize, I don't think God actually speaks back to me. Like, I don't hear him. And then there was the thing about hearing from the Holy Spirit, because Jason, anytime that he prayed for other people, it was like he was hearing from the Holy Spirit for them and praying for them. And in his prayer time as well, he would share with me things that the Holy Spirit was showing him. And that really just showed that line between the difference between what I had relationship-wise, which for me just felt like just religious prayer, just repeating things I had prayed my whole life, just kind of going through the motions of speaking things of the Lord. And so I started getting really frustrated, because I would realize that I did not have what I thought I had. I thought I had this close relationship with the Lord. I thought I was very spiritually mature. And it just was like this unveiling, where it showed me that actually what I had was a spiritual practice. I had a practice, and I had a religion that was void of a close, intimate relationship with my Father, with my Heavenly Father, you know? And so I'm not going to get into how that all came about to where that changed, but God really just started doing a lot of incredible things in my life. But like you said, it was really hard, and it was really hard for a long time, because it took me looking honestly at myself and going, oh, I thought I was spiritually mature, and actually instead I'm just driven by performance. I'm driven by a need to please God, and which comes from a belief that I am worthless and not pleasing to God from my starting point, and that being my driving factor instead of love. And so there's a lot more stories as far as how that changed to where God became really my Father in a close and intimate way, and my relationship and the way I experience him, or the way I relate to him, I should say, really changed. But most of that I'm not gonna get into, but that's most of those stories are in the book.
I feel like that's what it's all about, you know. It's not just hearing that God loves you. It's not just, you know, even reading in the Bible that God loves you. It's allowing God through his Holy Spirit to tell you he loves you, to say, you're mine, you know, this is what I've done for you. I got this really cool picture in my mind of, while you're talking, of I don't know if you remember watching Winnie the Pooh when we were younger.
Yes.
We were really young. I got this really cool picture of Winnie the Pooh. And there's this other character. He's a stuffed bear, for those of y'all who don't know. It's a cartoon. And there's this other character named Rabbit, and he's a stuffed rabbit. Mm-hmm. And Rabbit, his whole character is built around performance.
Yes.
He's always out there, like, planting his garden. He's planting his carrots. He's harvesting them. He's got everything counted, everything in order. His whole house is in order. Mm-hmm. When Winnie the Pooh is pretty much the opposite. And Rabbit is always getting upset about everything. He's always getting angry because things aren't working out right. And Winnie the Pooh is always just like, he's just trusting that everything's going to work out. Mm-hmm. And I think the big difference between the two characters is, if you look at Rabbit, he was always looking to himself, you know, for the answers. He's always looking to his own abilities, his own, you know, quote unquote, perfection. Mm-hmm. And Winnie the Pooh, you know, partially because he wasn't very smart, you know, a bear of very little brains,
right,
as
exactly.
he calls himself.
Yeah.
But also because he knew that this other character, Christopher Robin, who was his owner, was always going to take care of him.
Yeah.
You know, he's always going to be there when he needed him. He could always turn to him. And I feel like that's the same way with us and God. You know, we're either being Rabbit or we're being Winnie the Pooh, and we're either looking to God or we're looking to ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I honestly think this is true, you know, not just especially, and I'm hearing a lot of, you know, similarities to my own story, but even before getting saved, you know, or before getting filled with the Spirit or something like that, mm-hmm. I think, yeah, this can happen then, but I think it can happen every single day,
yeah.
even to me now. Like, this is something I have to look at and examine every day, mm-hmm. and it's really a heart issue, and bringing it to the Lord and saying, God, am I looking back to myself again?
Yeah.
You know, am I looking to my own performance,
right.
my own achievement, or am I looking to you? Am I willing to lay down, you know, my preconceptions about what my life is supposed to look like, about how much I'm supposed to be able to handle, and even, you know, where my drive is supposed to be coming from.
Yeah.
And like, oh, you man. Said, the reason for everything is God's love. You know, yeah. the Bible talks about how we love, meaning like we're only able to love. We only have the capacity to love
mm-hmm.
because God first loved us. Yeah. So if we're not receiving His love, you know, to a great extent, if His love is not being poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, then it's going to be impossible for us to turn around and be that loving, you know, quote unquote loving Christian that God expects us to be. You know,
right.
that's written about in Scripture. It's really impossible apart from Him.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I want to get into some scriptures, that you were kind of hinting at, here in a second, but what you said really made me think, there might be some people watching this right now and thinking, what's the harm in being disciplined and, you know, praying and reading your Bible and just trying to do what's right and trying to do what's good. So I really want to emphasize that obviously we're not saying there's anything wrong with having discipline and wanting to please God and especially having a sense of wanting to obey God. But we're talking about right here is it has to be distinguished is the motivation. And so I think of the verse, I wish I had it pulled up, but I think of the verse that talks about if you don't have love, you don't have anything. And Paul is actually talking about his example is very good things. He's talking about being spiritually mature, looking spiritually mature. He's talking about giving all of your money to the poor. And all of these, like the most good Christian things you could possibly do.
Yeah.
Serving at your church and doing all this stuff. Like everything he talks about falls underneath that. And then he says that if you do all this stuff, but you have not love, like if you're doing it, but it's not out of love, then it's worthless. You're not doing anything. And so I just wanted to emphasize that the spiritual maturity that's motivated by love, true spiritual maturity, it looks like discipline. It looks like having a passion and a drive for God and the things of God and the kingdom of God. I'm not talking about being lazy and saying like, oh, I'm just never going to read my Bible. I'm never going to pray or whatever because I'm just believing God loves and accepts me anyways. He does love and accept you. You're covered by the blood of Jesus. Your sins are washed away and you're not trying to earn a position with Him. But the heart is so key in that area that mm-hmm. Paul talks about.
This is Troy Black. I pray the Lord is speaking to you through this podcast. We'll get back to the message in a second, but I want to take a minute to tell you about how you can support this ministry. I'm able to create videos, books, podcasts, and other materials because of faithful supporters who value my content and who want to help me share the gospel with as many people as possible. All I ask is that you would pray about becoming a part of the work we're doing. Learn more by going to troyblackvideos.com. I hope you're blessed as you continue listening.
Yeah, so the first Bible verse I wanted to get into is Matthew 16, starting with verse 24. And it's Jesus, and it says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?'" And the reason that I'm bringing this verse in is so often I think we use this verse to talk about people doing kind of worldly things and saying like, you have to deny yourself, you have to take up the cross, you have to let your life go, all the worldly things that you've cared about and wanted, like your drive for money or these other things or whatever, and follow the Lord. But I'm bringing this up in this conversation of spiritual maturity is because so often our fake spiritual maturity, our spiritual maturity that's coming out of insecurities, of feeling not good enough and feeling kind of worthless and being like, well, I really want God to accept me, so I'm going to try hard and I'm going to perform. And that's what our relationship is about. I truly believe, and God has showed me this why this is so important, why he is killing all of that is in me. Like, he is actively killing that drive that I've had coming from insecurity. He's trying to kill those insecurities. I truly believe that is an idol. It is, it is literally an idol. It is, I am making myself a God. I am making my righteousness and my goodness a God that I'm pursuing and I'm following, rather than the true God who's, I'm depending on him, and he is who makes me right, not myself. He is all good, and I get to partake in his goodness, and I get to be led by his goodness, but I am not generating the goodness. So I love how Jesus, literally, it goes against everything our culture says about do better, be better. Jesus's answer is die.
Yeah.
Literally give up and die. You cannot do anything. And to stress that further, I love this verse.
Just to chime in.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Reese is, for those of y'all watching or listening, Reese is definitely talking about dying to yourself.
Yes.
He's not talking about physical death.
I'm not talking about physical death. I'm talking about dying to yourself. I'm talking about your internal life, all the drives and the things that are inside of you, trying to make yourself better and put yourself a better version of yourself forward. It's like, that is the thing that Jesus is trying to kill, so you can fully depend on him and not be.
Reese, I love how you're always trying to use. You're always using the harshest or like most like graphic words you can.
Yes, I do. I do, but it definitely so makes does the Jesus. Point.
Yeah, Jesus said it. It's true. Jesus said it.
Oh, man. The next verse, it goes right into it, right off the same point. It's John 15. Again, this is Jesus talking, and he says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." And I read this verse again this morning. I just knew it was the Holy Spirit just gave it to me of like, talk about this verse. And the picture I had was, you take a tree, a healthy tree that's growing out of the ground, cut off one of the branches, and go stick it in the mud and start watering it, that branch is not going to do anything. Yeah. That branch is going to die. It's not going to grow and be a tree. So we have to understand that we are branches. Mm-hmm. Like, that is our identity. That is who we are. We are branches. And so if we, even if it looks good, even if it looks religious or looks Christian-y, if in our hearts what we are doing is we are taking ourselves and sticking ourselves in the ground and saying, I'm going to grow, I'm going to be good, I'm going to be acceptable, people are going to like me, just like grow me, and stick it. We're dead. We are dead spiritually in every sense of the word. We are not going to produce any fruit. We're not going to be healthy in any sense of the word. We have to understand that we are branches, and that our life only comes from Jesus. And so that's why I keep talking about the spiritual death, is because the spiritual death itself isn't the goal. It's the life coming from Jesus, but we don't get that without the spiritual death. Same way as a branch doesn't get to be a part of the vine unless the branch stops sticking itself in the mud and saying, I'm my own tree, and says, actually, I cannot produce any life by myself. So I'm going to completely hold on to this vine, and the vine is going to be my life.
Me and my daughters have been going, and my wife, we've been going out and going blackberry picking lately.
Yeah,
since it's blackberry season, and you're just this. It's the same illustration essentially, but yeah, like when I was a kid, I would ask my dad when he was mowing the yard not to mow where the blackberry bushes were, because if he would mow where the blackberry bushes were, and he would chop, you know, the bushes would still be there, but the branches would be chopped off, like come blackberry season, the little, like, you know, little tiny stems or whatever. And if you chop those off, then no fruit would come from it, you know? And it's kind of that same picture of, as soon as we're not rooted in him, in the person of Jesus Christ, not just the things of Jesus Christ, we're not going to be able to bear fruit. And I honestly believe, I think sometimes we have this misconception, that as long as we're doing things, as long as we're getting things accomplished or checking off a list, you know, or whatever, that we're bearing fruit. But I think we need to go back to what Jesus talked about as actually bearing fruit, and not what we assume bearing fruit is. you know, and a lot of times I feel like it comes to, first off, knowing what Jesus said in the Word about fruit, but also knowing what the Holy Spirit is saying now about what fruit looks like, you know, because I could sit there and read the Bible all week long, and then finally spend a little bit of time in His presence and say, what, you know, aren't you proud of me for what I did this week? Right. And God might say, Troy, you know, you weren't listening to me, but I had this person I wanted you to go talk to this week, and that's what I wanted you to do. Mm-hmm. You know, it's great that you're reading the Bible. It's great. But you missed the fruit that I had for you, you know, and if you hear that, it's like, oh my gosh, like, I don't want to miss that. You know, like, I don't want to miss what God is doing now, what He wants to use me for now in order to do something that I feel like I have to do.
Right.
You know, and I'm not saying reading the Bible is a bad thing. It's a great thing. And we should all be doing it. You know, and there's a lot of spiritual practices like that that are great, and we should all be doing them. Yet at the same time, it really comes back to, like you're saying, are we bearing the fruit that's coming from His life? Mm-hmm. Or are we bearing the fruit that's coming from something else? You know, our own mind, what culture expects, what the Christian church expects, whatever it might be.
Yeah, I love that. What you're saying reminds me of my pursuit of intimacy with God, especially after coming to college and like interacting with Jason and seeing that he had an intimate relationship with the Lord. As God became my dad in a real and powerful way, and I started pursuing Him more in that kind of like, no longer am I pursuing Him because I feel like it's the right thing to do, or because I feel like it's going to justify me in some way, because I'm only justified by the blood of Jesus, only justified by what God has done for me, what Jesus has done for me. I started to pursue God wanting to be His friend, wanting to be, to hear His voice, to know Him, to like a friend.
That's awesome.
You know?
Yeah.
And so on the journey to do that, I have learned that intimacy with God and dependence on God go hand in hand. They like are intricately linked. They go together. And it's so shown in the verse about the vine and your illustration, the blackberries that we were just showing.
You don't have to mention my illustration. It wasn't as good as yours.
No, I love it. I love it. And I just want to say, I love the Winnie the Pooh illustration. I forgot to say that. But no, it's so, they're so dependent on each other. Like every Christian wants a deeper relationship with God. We want a deeper relationship with God. But so often that we think that the way to getting that is through spiritual practices. But if we miss intimacy, we can miss intimacy while performing spiritual practices. But again, it goes back to the motivation. Because I can be motivated by a sense of I absolutely depend on God. Like me, myself, I have died to myself and realized that my life isn't about me. I'm not making myself good. My life isn't about how well I can bolster myself up and how good I can be. But actually, like, I have nothing and all of my life comes from Jesus. That is a dependence on God. And that dependence will push me to have an intimate relationship with the Lord, will push me to pursue Him like nothing else. But also at the same time, if I'm a Christian and I'm religious and I grew up in the church, I can have insecurities. I can have a sense of not, of being worthless, a sense of being a failure, a sense of being unloved. And that can drive me to look, to do the same actions.
Yeah.
That can drive me to pray and read the Bible. That can drive me to go to church. And none of those things are wrong. The only thing that is wrong is the motivation. The only thing that is wrong is the motivation. And I'm just going to throw this in here because I mentioned it before that I struggled with not being able to hear from God. I struggled from not being able to hear from the Holy Spirit. Well, in the past few years, God has really grown my ability to hear from Him. And the big thing that I have learned, which I believe why for most of my Christian walk, I was unable to hear from the Holy Spirit, was because I was only asking doing questions to God.
Wow.
The only thing I expected God to tell me was, my only question for God was, what should I do? And that question, which is not a bad question, I was specified, that is not a bad question, but my motivation was terrible. Because my motivation was, I am a performance mindset person. God, I don't believe that You fully love and accept me. I don't believe the blood of Jesus has paid for everything in my life. So I need to earn a position of some kind. And I was trying to earn that, you know, with people, and I was trying to earn that with God. And so that, tell me what to do, God, tell me what to do. If you think about it, if God had spoken to me, if He had audibly spoken to me and said, hey, this is what I want you to do, that wouldn't have helped me at all. I would have gone and done it, but my heart would have still been far from God, believing that this doing is what's important, and this is the doing still would have been my God, not God. I still wouldn't have been close to him. So he didn't answer that question. But when I changed the questions and started asking like who he wants me to be and like who he is and how this relationship is even supposed to work, then I began to hear from the Holy Spirit deep in my heart, and just and also seeing it in the Word, like the Holy Spirit opening up the Word to me and these verses and many more, just showing how the being always comes before the doing. What I mean by that is God is showing, who's telling me who I am in him, who I am, setting my identity in him, taking out those insecurities and putting a foundation of love and acceptance in my heart of going, oh, wow, I'm God's son. Just like the verse talks about that, the Spirit of God crying, Abba, Father, you know, all day long, our spirits are just crying, Abba, Father, we're your children. You love us. Thank you so much for everything you've done for us. Like that being my foundation. Yeah. Drives me to want to have an intimate relationship with my father. And I just want to specify is like, again, you just the notice the difference. The actions are the same. Praying, reading the Bible, going to church. It's the actions are the same, but the motivation is different now for me.
Yeah.
And that's
amazing.
And I can hear from the Holy Spirit better, I believe now, because I actually want to hear what he's telling me, instead of trying to put words in his mouth and saying, like, please tell me what to do so you can be pleased with me, is what I was trying to put in his mouth. And now his words are actually coming to me about how he loves me and what the blood of Jesus and like his sacrifice on the cross has done for me.
Wow. You're painting a picture with your words of, I'm just thinking about like me and my wife, Leslie, and how, If there is a separation between us, or like, you know, if we're angry at each other or something like that. And if I keep coming to her and saying, what do you want me to do? You know, what do you want me to do? And, you know, a lot of the time, if we're feeling like far away from each other, if we've got that feeling, it has a lot to do with the fact that we haven't spent time with each other. Yeah. You know, we haven't like had a good conversation with each other. We haven't asked each other how we're feeling, you know? And if I just keep coming to her and trying to fix the relationship by saying, what do you want me to do? You want me to go mow the yard? Mm-hmm. Do you want me to pick up the kids' toys to clean the house a little bit or something? And you know, the answer might just be, I just want to spend time with you. Mm-hmm. You know, like I just want to be close to you.
Yes.
And I feel like that's what God's Spirit is saying to the church. Yes. I just want to spend time with you. I want you to know me. I want to know you. Absolutely. You know, like I want to walk intimately with you.
Absolutely. I love that you talked about your relationship with your wife, Leslie, because I'm actually about to get married. When this video comes out, I will be married. And so my fiance Krista is amazing, but I'm throwing that out there because I love what you were talking about that that intimacy. And just in the past few months, my relationship with Krista and us preparing and getting married, God has totally used that to just nail in this point again and again that I need to give up my human strength. I need to give up my trust in my human strength. Again, goes back to me being my own God. Again, goes back to I can do it. I can be successful. I can do this. I can do that. And just showing me how that's been driven, again, like I said, by so many insecurities and him trying to just unearth those insecurities and lay that foundation of love deep in my heart. And so this is what I'm talking about. This stuff is vulnerable for me because just so recently, I've had to literally confess weakness to Krista. I was going through a rough time just a few weeks ago. And God was unearthing this stuff inside of me and showing me how I was like, hey, you're still holding on to these insecurities and this sense of like, you're not enough. And I got to prove I'm enough and I got to do something to be enough. And so by the leading of the Holy Spirit, I actually went to Krista because I knew it was the right thing to do because there was a break in our relationship. And there was a break in our relationship because I was putting forth a face of like, I can do this. I'm going to keep trying. And I wasn't like that same thing. Like she wanted to be with me and like see my heart. Like, well, when you're putting forth a better version of yourself, no one gets to see your heart. You don't even get to see your heart. You don't even know what's going on down there when you're putting a better version of yourself, which is why I think God is so, I love the Bible says that God is opposed to the proud.
Yeah.
You know, it makes us to where we have to give up the fake parts of ourselves. And so I was carrying these burdens I wasn't supposed to carry, especially with going into getting married. I was carrying like Krista's burdens, and she never asked me to carry her burdens. But I was like, I've got to be a certain person for her, and just in my work and the creative stuff I do, and I'm a freelancer and I'm trying to start my own business and stuff. It's like, I have to make this work and I have to make this succeed for our family, for our future and that sort of stuff. And so literally, like, I kid you not, it was a moment of crying and just before her saying, hey, I am weak. I don't know what I'm doing. I can't do all this stuff by myself. And not a sense of a failure or defeat doing that, but literally freedom. And in saying that and confessing, literally confessing my sins to her, because it's idolatry, a sin to believe that I can be a, like I said before, a branch in the mud growing into a tree. You know, that's completely delusional. And it, through that confessing to her of just saying, like, here's all the ways I've been weak. And I mean, you want to talk about meta enough, even just the experience of publishing this book and trying to put this book out, has resurfaced things inside of me, or the drive of, oh, I need to be successful. I need to be like the guy, the good Christian guy who knows all the answers. And my blog needs to be great. And this, like, I got to do everything right with this book. And just this sense of like, if this doesn't work out, or if I don't sell a bunch of copies or something, then like somehow I am not a whole and worthy and valuable person, you know? And God was just pointed that out to me and showed me, is like, you need to be okay with failure. You need to be okay with weakness. You need to be okay with things not turning out the way you wanted them to turn out, because your identity is in me, and I'm always loving you. I'm always there for you, and I'm always constant, you know? And so, yeah, man, just like, I know you've been married for a long time, but you know how much marriage, or even just preparing for marriage, reinforces the need to die to self, reinforces the need to surrender everything to Jesus and let him be, our life.
Well, I just want to say thank you so much, for coming on and talking to us today. I've really enjoyed this. I've enjoyed getting to chat with you.
Yeah, it's fun.
And getting to hear what the Lord has been putting on your heart and what he's been teaching you and showing you. I think this is a really important topic, and I'm super excited about what God is going to do with this video. I do want to say real quick, if you have been, if you've been listening to us today and anything we've said has been, put shame or condemnation on you at all, I know that that's not Reese's heart. It's not my heart to do that. Me and Reese, you know, we honestly, like, I feel like we have the same perspective when it comes to who we are in Christ. We're just people saved by grace. Yeah, you know, we're literally just Christians relying on God for everything. And so what I'm praying that you'll get out of this is that God's grace is available to you today. If you feel like if the Holy Spirit's convicted you about anything we've said, you know, he's convicted me too. So I need his grace too. And what's amazing is, like Reese was talking about, God, his love for you has never changed. His love for you has always been there. And it's not reliant on how good you've done. It's not reliant on how good I've done. His love is reliant on the fact that he is a loving God. He is a loving Father. And so I really hope this has been encouraging to you. Really quick, I want to let Reese talk about his website and a few other things.
Oh, thanks, man. If people are interested, besides my book, I've got one book out that's for ebook and print. Besides that, I've got a blog up. It's holdingfireblog.com. You can go there and actually see everything I'll be making. Really, right now, I'm just writing a lot, trying to get blog posts out and experimenting with music and worship songs and just songs and blog posts that God's putting on my heart. And if you want to follow me on social media, you can. It's at Reese Black Holding Fire, and that's on Facebook, Instagram, and then I'm on YouTube as well, Reese Black.
Awesome. Thanks again, Reese.
Thanks, man.
Thank you so much for watching. Love you so much. See you next time.
You can connect with Troy Black on YouTube or Facebook. For more content from Troy Black, or to find out how you can support this ministry, visit troyblackvideos.com.